That was Valerie Kelly talking to me at the R2 Gallery in the Launchpad from the 42nd Valley Visual Arts Show. And we're hearing from all kinds of artists who are in that show today on Express Yourself. So thanks for tuning in. Let's get another interview from Brian Colley, the gallery manager, coming up. This is a printmaker.
My name is Bailey Haynes, and I have lived in Carbondale since 2003. Long time. I started printmaking about 5 years ago. And the piece that I have in the Valley Visual Show is a print piece. I believe it's a mono print. Mm-hmm. And it's an abstract landscape inspired by the landscape here in the Roaring Fork Valley. The colors that I see when I'm out hiking or skiing, the forms, the landforms, the light and shadow, and the contrast are all kind of serve as inspiration for my work.
And gosh, I don't know what to say because it's such a beautiful piece. I got to design the postcard for the show, and I chose your work for the postcard because I thought it was such a striking image. I'm not much of an abstract artist myself, but there's something about it that makes me want to be. And how did you, I mean, I know you said it was just inspired by the landscape, but then your work always seems to have this kind of movement through it and transparency. The shapes kind of go back and forth. Can you talk about how you've kind of evolved your process and the images that you've chosen and made? They're beautiful.
Well, thanks, Brian. I think, that one specifically, when I'm like outside hiking, or I'm just usually in so much awe of the beauty that I see. And I have kind of an overwhelming sense of there being so much more than what we can perceive and see ourselves. And so it's a small way that I'm trying to capture that sense of spirit or animation or a way of being that we can't perceive as humans, you know.
And the title of the piece is Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Spirit. And I, you know, something that I've been playing with my work is color and the transparency of color and exploring how the different colors and shapes interact. Mm-hmm. Because part of my process is it goes through my press 6, maybe 10 times, and every time it comes out of the press, it looks completely different. And then I'm looking at my print and reevaluating what needs to happen to make the composition work. Mm-hmm. And so it's so much a process of surprise and it's very organic in that I don't really know what I'm going to make when I begin.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, I always have kind of an idea. Huh. And I do preliminary sketches. Mm-hmm. To try and figure things out, but it just changes. Mm-hmm. And kind of has a life of its own.
We had Allie O'Neill here to talk about her woodblock print, but I wonder if you could talk about how you print, because I don't think it's a woodblock. It must be something else that you use.
Yeah, so I use cut paper, a thick cut paper stock for my printing plates. So I hand mix my ink colors, and then I use a roller to roll it onto the paper. Hmm. And then I'm printing I'm transferring the ink from the paper plates to my finished piece. In consecutive layers, so I let the ink dry in between.
Wow. So that must take a while to do each print. I mean, I don't know how many layers there are on this one, but if you said maybe up to 10, how long does that take you to make a whole print?
It takes around 2 months.
Oh!
To make a print.
My gosh.
I mean, I'm not working 24 hours a day on it. But yeah, I have to be patient with it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I understand when you have, you know, you have a small child and there's all kinds of stuff happening, but that takes a lot of patience, I guess, to see it through, doesn't it?
It, yes. Well, yes, it does, Brian. It does take
I can't imagine because, you know, I do a lot of painting, so it's so immediate, you know, it's there and it's done. Mm-hmm. Have you shown in this Valley Visual before?
Nope, this is my first time.
Wow. Congratulations.
I know.
Thank you for being part of it.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Really, I think it's so awesome that you guys put it together.
Yeah. Thanks, Bailey.
Yeah. My name is Allie O'Neill, and I've got a piece called Downy. It's of a downy woodpecker, and it's a wood carving. So it's a single block wood carving, and then I hand paint in the little bit of red with acrylic afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing a lot of printmaking, haven't you? And just printmaking in general, like screen printing, and I didn't know this was woodblock, actually. That's cool.
Yeah, I mostly do screen printing, but took a class at Anderson Ranch on woodblock carving, two of them, 2 years in a row, actually, and it's just like a nice break from screen printing has felt more business-like in the past couple years, or more production-focused, I suppose, mm-hmm. and woodblock feels like good reprieve from that.
Mm-hmm. And so you must have to get a bunch of different tools for the woodblock compared to screen printing, because it's a totally different, it's still printmaking, but it's a different process. I wonder if you could tell people more about how that works for people that aren't understanding how woodblock might work.
Yeah, so I use Shina woodblocks, which is a type of Japanese wood, and it's like got a really buttery grain, so when you're carving, you can carve across the grain and not really get too many chips of pieces coming out easily. And so I've got maybe a handful of woodblock carving tools that I use for that. But yeah, it's a completely different printmaking process. You need print brayers, which are the things that roll on the ink. The type of ink is completely different than screen printing. It's a oil-based rather than water-based. And then you also need a press, which I'm lucky enough that Raina and the project shop mm-hmm. help artists locally to be able to finish their projects without, you know, the thousands of dollars of equipment you would ultimately need mm-hmm. for every medium of printmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so then once you find, like, the image of the woodpecker, for instance, then what's the next step after you find the image? Then how do you get it onto the plate or the block? And then what happens?
Yeah, so you do, basically, I do a hand drawing from whatever image I have, and then I take that hand drawing. You basically have to, I mean, there are a couple different ways of doing it. The way that I do it is I paint the block with India ink, let it dry, and then essentially make a copy of my hand drawing and trace my drawing with tracing paper onto the block with, like, a white, it's like tracing paper that leaves white marks on it,
and then cool.
I use a coating spray on top so that the kind of chalk marks don't go away. And the nice thing about that process is that because you have the black, as you're carving away to the wood underneath, you get a better visual of what your finished piece is going to print out like. But I also know other artists, like I'm pretty sure Jim does some sort of a alcohol rub.
Okay.
To get the ink to stay on the block or piece of whatever he's using. I know there are different methods. I'm just newer to woodblock printing and don't really know all the options.
And everything kind of has to be done backwards, right? Because it's going to be printed like the opposite on the paper. Is that challenging at all? I guess it's more challenging with words, maybe.
Yeah,
text.
If you're not doing words, it's pretty okay. I always get caught up with that on screen printing, really, because it's always has to be backwards. But then, yeah, with woodblock, sometimes it's, I don't know, Dave Kadama created a stamp for me that I gave to him backwards and then realized that it shouldn't have been backwards. And yeah, there's a lot of mirror imaging that you'd think would be simple, but ends up being hard.
Yeah, there's something about printmaking, it's not as immediate as like painting and drawing. It's like this whole other thing in your brain that has to switch back and forth between forwards and backwards, and
yeah,
the composition, even
Yeah, I'm sure you've experienced that as well.
A little bit. Since I have you here, what can you tell us more about what you do, like Thimble Fox and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so my typical work is more of screen printing on textiles. I really like the way that printmaking just kind of has such an even coat, and the ink kind of just like flows into the fibers of the fabric really evenly in a pretty aesthetically beautiful way, in my opinion. So most of the work that I do are hand drawings that I print onto textiles and make different products like reusable beeswax wrap and cotton linen napkins. I'm hoping to do some reusable produce bags this year as well. Last year was really focused on mask making as well. It kind of dominated my year and just... yeah, taking a pause on other things that are nice to have, but to do the things that we needed.
Mm-hmm. For anyone listening out there, we are open weekdays 10 to 5, and we only let 8 people come in at a time, wearing masks, of course. So we're keeping it pretty safe. And there's also a People's Choice Award. If you come see Allie's work, it'll be up for voting. And the winners are announced February 19th. We're also celebrating our 50th year of Mountain Fair, and so we're doing a special golden ticket prize. We've hidden 10 golden tickets behind different artworks.
So fun.
Anything from Carbondale Arts membership for the year to even a 2021 Mountain Fair shirt certificate. There's all kinds of things.
That's so awesome. Very cool.
You've been hearing from artists of all forms of media who are displaying in the 42nd Valley Visual Arts Show at the Launchpad in Carbondale. And as you heard Brian tell us, that runs through February 19th. Let's hear from a multimedia artist. Coming up, this is Kat Rich.
My name is Kat Rich, and I am a mixed media artist from Carbondale.
Tell us about your piece in the show.
My piece is called Go Red Car Go, and it is a representation of a red car on a very groovy textural background. The technique I used is called pochoir, where you cut stencils out of Duralar, which is kind of flexible plastic type, and you use gouache and a little foamy brush, and you basically, the technique is called stippling, and you basically just take this little brush and poke it up and down while you fill in the stencil.
Like through the stencil?
Yes.
You're putting the paint, like kind of stippling, but with a paintbrush.
With a paintbrush, yes. It's actually a chubby, which they use in kindergarten classes. They come in packs of 10.
So like the fat brush?
Yep. And then you cut most of it off so you have a really blunt edge. And
And boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom it. It's hard to say without visualizing, but it's kind of like stamping.
Uh-huh. And so you've got this red car in the middle, and it's kind of cut out. The shape's cut out. And then it's floating on this background. Tell me about the background. Or tell the listening audience about the background.
The listening audience. the background is this luscious, luscious piece of handmade paper that is very, very swirly. And it has a lot of texture. And it almost looks like sort of snow or china that's been carved up that's exploding from underneath the piece. Yeah. And it was one of those wonderful... happy accidents, as we artists like to say. I have a very messy workspace, and I just kind of throw stuff around as I'm working on it, and I happened to look down, and that little red car had landed on that spot.
Oh, wow.
And I was actually playing around with a lot of very complex backgrounds that were cityscapes and roadscapes and things, and the angles were really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so I just put it down for a little while to think about it, and or not think about it, actually.
Yeah.
And a couple days later, I just happened to look down, and I had one of those brilliant,
whoa,
woo, aha moments.
Yeah, I love it because it is so simple, and it does remind me of driving in snow. Sort of the joys and perils of driving in snow.
Joys and perils. It's funny. My husband loves to drive, and driving in snow is one of his favorite things. And when I got my fancy Mini Cooper, he really wanted me to learn how to drive in snow. So he keeps trying to talk me into going. There's somewhere in Aspen that has like a snow race driving class.
What?
Which sounds terrifying to me. But it does kind of remind me of people kind of messing around in the car and doing donuts in the snow.
Is that where you found your inspiration for the Go Red Car Go?
No, I actually had that piece before I had the car.
Oh.
So.
Nice.
But it's one of those things where sometimes art happens just organically.
Mm-hmm.
And I find for me, that works really nice for me. It works well.
And you do all kinds of different art media. You do printmaking sometimes and collage and painting and now pochoir with gouache.
Yes, pochoir. And I would say not so much painting. I paint surfaces because I need to put them on collages.
Hmm.
Printmaking is really my favorite, but I just don't have the setup or access for it.
Mm-hmm.
And my new thing is I've been working on little kind of, I guess they're performance art pieces, little tiny films. Hmm. So that's kind of my new project. It's something I never thought I would do, but I think that's a part of being part of Carbondale Arts and being part of this wonderful creative community that we are in and being around really inspiring people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll hope to see a performance art piece from you in the next Valley Visual. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, or maybe even someday on the runway.
Ooh, fashion show piece.
Yes.
Perfect.
Maybe. Awesome. I have been painting some shoes, which I find quite interesting. So we'll see where that takes me.
So many ways to go with your art, Kat.
Well, that's the nice thing about being a fledgling artist that started late is I'm still trying to find my feet. And I can't really commit, but I think I'm starting to find the path.
That's half the fun, really, with the art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Finding your path and, yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Brian. Have a lovely Valley Visual. Come check us out. It's a fantastic show.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Hunter Hogan, and I'm a painter. I just returned to living in the Valley in the last 2 years after being gone for almost 20. But I was here before that. And before I was a painter, I was a tapestry weaver, and many people might know me from that. But I've been painting since 1989 and have definitely moved more and more abstract. The piece in this show is a very experimental piece. I do have a method of designing studies using cut-up design magazines, which I learned from Roberto Juarez at Anderson Ranch.
Oh, okay.
And he's a fabulous painter. And it gives me a start to not get too lost. It gives me a structure and a color direction. And I don't slavishly follow them. I branch off, especially now that I have a drawing up. I'm likely to start something from a study, take a picture of it, put it on my iPad, draw on it, go back and paint what I drew, take another picture, go back and draw on it some more. And this is just a goofy little sort of experimental piece. And I just liked it. I don't do many pieces this small. So it was just a quick experiment.
And this
you
piece
want to
is,
say, Brian?
And this piece isn't really that small compared to some of the other ones in the show. How big is it?
It's 30 by 30. That was what you said was the maximum.
Right.
And so I had to find a canvas that was that size and work on it. And
was that a struggle to work so small?
It was.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Well, you know, sometimes if you do a 30 by 30, then you put another 30 by 30 next to it, then you, like, could see it keep going, and then another one, and then you could have a really nice-sized painting.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoy things a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they get so big I can't go to any bigger because I can't move them. I'm 68, so, you know, I can only...
And they don't fit in your car or
I can carry them. Yeah, right. If they don't fit in the truck, it gets to be complicated.
Uh-huh. For this piece, is it an acrylic on canvas?
It is. Yeah. I was always an oil painter until about 3 years ago, and... we were away on a long trip. My husband is South African, so sometimes mm-hmm. we rent an apartment somewhere like there and spend a few months in the winter. And
yeah.
I couldn't paint, and so I started making collages and painting collages, and I started working with acrylics, and I realized I could work with acrylics when I travel because I always have to wash up in the kitchen sink. And it took me a really long time to make that change, and to be honest, I'm having a blast with them because I change my mind a lot. I literally have the freedom to go back and take something completely out with some white paint and be reborn. So, of course, then that complicates the painting because you've got this big hole or you did have something you didn't like. And but it's great.
Yeah, acrylics.
I'm getting to like them so much, and yay. I've learned how to make them transparent and build in layers like you would with oils.
And the title for this one is called Geology Lesson.
Yes.
I wonder if you could talk about that.
Well, it looks like those, you know, those diagrams for rock strata, you know, which I know nothing about geology. People are always trying to tell me the names of the different layers of rock, and I never remember.
So it's like a... It looks
I just
like
the way they look.
Yeah. It's like a cutaway, and it has the different layers and different, like,
yeah,
textures.
So that's... Yeah. It's just...
okay.
You know, it doesn't have to be literal association between the name and the painting. It's just, in a way, I like things that are a little whimsical. I don't want to be too serious. I take my work... seriously, but I also want to have a sense of humor about things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too serious. If I'm not having a good time doing it, I don't want to do it.
I can tell. It's a very playful piece. I like all your pieces that I've seen. And not being an abstract artist myself, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you move into, like, from a blank canvas and then find your way.
Well, see, that's where this technique of cutting up printed material, it could be anything, it could be painted material, but cutting up and reconfiguring. And I really have finally, this past year of being stuck at home, it's been an amazing year of work for me.
Oh, wow.
And I have my show here in May, and I'm so excited because I've never done a better body of work ever.
Wow.
And it's, but anyway, it gives me, if I can get the structure and the color harmony right, I've got the basis for a painting. I might need to work on the details and figure out what it needs or what it needs to be taken away. And I do that by hanging it in the kitchen and then living with it for a month or so. And then it's like, uh-oh, it's got to go back.
Oh, wow.
I don't like that. And if that one hung long enough in my house, I would have changed it a lot.
Oh, good.
That's just what happens.
Yeah. And you mentioned you do have a solo show coming up here. I think it opens May 7th.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
How have you been planning for that, if you don't mind talking about it in advance?
I want to have 10 good-sized pieces.
Yeah.
And I've got 8 done right now. Of one of those, I might change a few things on. But it's gone well, and they're all feeding each other, you know. Now I'm starting to understand how to get the effects I want with the acrylics. And I think just by sheer... doing things over and over and over again, you eventually learn something.
Yeah, practice makes perfect, I guess, over time.
Tenacity.
Well, and if you want a preview of what that show, the flavor of the show will look like, come over to the Valley Visual and you'll see Hunter's piece. Anytime between now and February 25th. Thank you, Hunter.
Thanks, Brian.
Hi, my name is Mark Rone, and I am a local photographer. Digital photographer and film photographer. I started getting into photography back when I was in high school. Fell in love with Ansel Adams. Picked up a calendar somewhere on one of our journeys, and his photographs were just, his black and white images were so stunning. I just fell in love with the idea of being a photographer. And I had an uncle that actually, my mom's cousin was visiting, and he asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I had no idea. I think I was about 9 years old, and I just said I wanted to be a photographer. I don't know where that came from, other than that was the only profession I kind of knew from those calendars. And he mentioned that he was a professional photographer, and I think that was kind of the end of the conversation. And about 3 weeks later, I get this huge box in the mail with all this photography equipment, cameras and lenses and film and slide projectors. And when I graduated from high school, you know, life went the way it did, and I kind of put the camera down and I forgot all about it. And about 15 years ago, I just noticed that I had an itch, an artistic itch that needed to be scratched. So I tried all sorts of things. I went and I took pottery classes and painting classes and drawing classes, and they just would never do what I wanted it to do, and I would get frustrated and hang it up. But there was just always this draw, especially living where we live in such an amazing place. You know, the Four Corners, Colorado and Utah and Arizona and New Mexico, and even just Colorado and our valley. It's such a beautiful place that when I was out hiking or just wandering around Carbondale, for instance, I would just, something would stop me in my tracks, and I don't know why I would stop, but I would try and figure it out. And I found myself with, you know, whatever instant camera I had before phones had cameras on them, just trying to make a photograph or capture it. And in a way, it sort of took off. You know, I figured that it was always the camera was the reason why my photography wasn't coming out the way I wanted it to, but I stuck with it.
Tell us about the piece in the Valley Visual that you've got.
So the piece that I have at the Valley Visual show is a piece that there's this white, what I always thought was a chicken coop, just off of the bike path in Emma, as you're kind of crossing the Emma Road to go down, like you're going towards Rock Bottom Ranch. So you're still actually in almost Willits there. There's a chicken coop right there in a little field. And I always ride my bike past there, and I always thought that would really make a nice photograph. And we had a really beautiful fall morning that I got up really early, and I went down. The colors this year were just spectacular. And so I went down and captured it. And one of the ways that I've been developing my images lately is more in like a painterly style. So I kind of want the viewer to look at it and say, is that an actual image or is that a painting?
Yeah, there is some kind of like atmosphere about what you captured that is, it kind of transports you. I wasn't even sure if it was local, but that's a great spot.
Yep. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And,
I think I got all those artist voices in. Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself this evening on KDNK. And huge thanks to Brian Colley for all of these interviews. See the works that you heard all about and more at the Valley Visual Arts Show. That's at Carbondale Arts, and it's available through February 25th.